These leadership podcasts are provided as a tool, a sort of supplemental, if you will, to the learning program that you have in your leadership course. The information shared here will not necessarily be a duplication of the information that you have in your course, but should actually serve as a supplement to that course and guide you with expanding your own thinking about contemporary leadership and its application in the workplace. We will try in these podcasts to make sure that newer notions and applications of leadership from the latest literature is explicated for your edification and for your learning in a way that is mobile and portable and can assist you in supplementing the foundations for your leadership education. Ultimately, we hope that these podcasts will serve as a tool for raising questions in your own thinking and development with regard to issues of leadership, innovation, organizations, and systems application. Many of you are going to be providing leadership roles in any number of settings and applications. So it's important that you gain as much insight as possible with regard to the application of leadership roles and with the value of those applications to your own individual leadership development. So my hope is that some of this information will be very helpful. Secondarily, I think it's important for us to begin to recognize that there's a fundamentally different context for the expression of leadership than the one which most of us grew up with. Here now in the 21st century, in the digital age, where digitalization and all of the virtuality and related issues have served to change our human experience, it is important for the leader to begin to recognize that these conditions and circumstances will influence the expression of leadership in new age organizations and in the context of this 21st century experience. Hopefully, the context for your own learning and the framework within which you will unfold and understand the processes of leadership will reflect the shifting social, political, and economic context for the experience of leadership and the expressions of that leadership in any variety of circumstances. I think what will be helpful at the outset is an understanding that the context for leadership has shifted radically. We are now living in a highly socio-technical environment, and that is creating significant shifts in the expression of the role of leader as well as the human experience most of us are confronting in just living our daily lives. A part of recognizing this is that for most of us, the fundamental rules of our human experience were really defined during our upbringing and our early years. And as a result of that, our perception, our active vision of the world and our relationship to it really has been constructed by presets that may not necessarily apply any longer. The challenge for the leader is to recognize that these personal behaviors and internal behavioral characteristics, which represent our own performance set, are also what we're confronting in the organization. The incongruence between organizational constructs, individual behavior, expressions of leadership, are all grounded in the industrial age, the age that we are all leaving. Now, as we more and more quickly move out of industrial age constructs into more socio-technical constructs for a new age of living, the challenges with our past experience and our contemporary need for specific kinds of role behavior, work behavior, and leadership behavior are significant. It is these challenges that now define the fundamental elements of the development role of emerging leaders as they begin to struggle and confront many of the issues in creating an effective framework for leadership. This challenge between our foundational constructs formed in our early years in the industrial age and the emerging constructs which are now more clearly defining the characteristics of our lived experience in the emerging age is really the work of contemporary leadership, addressing them, creating transitions between old patterns of behavior and new expectations for behavior and performance, translating into a language that can be understood those new expectations and performance characteristics that are necessary for people to be able to thrive and succeed in the age that we are now moving quickly to construct and within which we now have to perform as leaders and as individuals. Movement into what is now frequently called the quantum age reflects fundamental philosophical and primary shifts in understanding about the world, about the universe, about organizations and people and the dynamics related to that. If we look at the background of management and leadership theory of the 1930s and 40s and 50s, most design was based in a constructionistic and mechanistic framework. The reflections on leadership were subsequent to the understanding of a mechanistic design for organizations and the vertical structures within which they were unfolded. This hierarchical approach to organizations reflected a fairly structured and mechanical approach to the management and formation of work and to the leadership attributes necessary to guide people through work. A part of the challenge now in the current understanding of organizations is the notion of complexity and all of the elements of the quantumness that's reflected in these designs. A part of learning in the new age organization is recognizing that we are moving away from industrial age elements into an age that now reflects an entirely different set of relationships. These new forces are converging to create a transformation, if you will, between the experience of people in the industrial age and the emerging characteristics of experience in the new age. A substantive change and shift in human experience underpins a very comprehensive transition or transformation out of the industrial age and to this unfolding new age that is as yet fully defined and fully clarified. There's an important difference between previous shifts in the previous ages and the one that we're now experiencing as human beings. Where previous shifts occurred in the past, the significance became clear, even if it was rarely apparent during the critical transition points, as to essentially what was going on. Today, different from past changes, the period between predicting future changes and confronting their unfolding is becoming shorter and shorter, with briefer moments of definition along the way. Indeed, today's leaders really are acting as the agents of change while they themselves are experiencing the process of change and caught in the midst of that change in ways that itself creates personal trauma and a lack of understanding. If we can just look at some of the characteristics that are unfolding as exemplars of the emerging content of the age, we get a sense of just how significant this shift is in reality. Think about the internet as the perhaps the fastest growing primary business and human experience communication interaction tool in the history of humankind. Think about how fiber optics and wirelessness and increasing bandwidth and those kinds of things related to wireless communication, satellite technology, cell phones, one of the fastest growing communication devices in the history of humankind, have all changed the way in which we communicate, interact, connect, link, socialize, and how this transmission is now instant, real time, and provides connections in ways that we simply had not ever experienced before in human history. Think about how information has become critical to the understanding of the human experience and how increasingly the infrastructure of technology and communication has now made information available and readily accessible to a wide variety of people across every social spectrum. And this high portability and fluidity and pace of information management and sharing in a real-time experience allows everyone to access and use this information and to develop the tools of knowledge equitably in an entirely different way than we once did through schools of learning and programs of learning and places of learning. Now, with this kind of medium of learning, one can learn in almost any setting within which one finds him or herself. Now, we watch the shift in personal relationships, the ability now to increasingly make decisions about your relationships, about how you will have those relationships, about your accessibility. Your accessibility now is totally dependent on your choice as to when you turn on your technology or you turn off your technology. As long as your technology is turned on, you are available, you are accessible, you are able to be communicated with. So as we begin to look at that in terms of defining work, your work begins when your accessibility begins and ends when you turn off the technology that makes you accessible. You have increasingly larger roles to play in managing what your work is, when it begins, when it ends, and your relationship to that work. Think about how miniaturization and nanotechnology is increasingly changing medical therapeutics, the communication technology, every level of bench science and other kinds of life influencing experiences in a way that is significant. Remember, it creates new levels of innovation at the very subcellular level and influences even the management of disease or the delivery of medications, and increasingly the speed of communication and interactions regarding or related to the size of chips and flow inside the communication devices, so that our communication devices become increasingly more portable, more manageable, smaller, and easier to handle. Think finally of the processes of globalization. And what globalization means is we begin to start unfolding the future of work and the future of the relationships which drive work, and how all of the elements of work now moving continuously and dynamically, endlessly, across all time, across the global stage, every nation, every organization, so that work now becomes mobility-based and a process which indicates a whole different approach to the management of the processes of work and all the elements associated with the exercise of work and with its delivery and with its evaluation. All of this provides the context for the role of the leader. Leaders must not only understand this, but champion this transition, this change. Imagine asking other people to be enthused about the challenges of their own work if the leader, him or herself, is not also enthused by the challenges of the changes that are confronting everyone's role. The leader is the champion of this transition, this transformation, and must be able not only to give it a language, but to be able to translate to others the leader's own engagement and embracing of these dramatic shifts and changes, so that individuals can get a sense that these changes are a fundamental part of the human experience, and that the leader demonstrates in her his own capacity of leadership, their engagement, their enthusiasm and agreement to commit to the energies and demands that these changes ask of individuals as we move into a new frame for organization. The role of the leader, in fact, is actually to encourage these transformations, to make a commitment to the journey, and to work diligently to incorporate the changes in their own lives in a very personal way, to demonstrate to others through their own example of their own commitment and willingness, essentially, to engage these changes in a meaningful way. Leaders don't just suggest these changes to everyone, and don't just suggest that change is the fundamental character of the universe. Leaders actually provide an exemplar of engagement and of willingness. They serve as a witness to the changes and to the transformation, and they demonstrate to others through their own behavior, through their own challenges and struggle, and their experience of their leadership journey, how to incorporate and address the changes within the context of their own lived experience. In the initial stages of this transformational process, leaders must be able to show that the coming and continuous drama of transformation into a new age is a critical one, not an optional one. This important notion of removing option from the journey is very, very important to the role of the leader. So many people still believe that somehow there's a choice that they have with regard to how they might respond to the realities of the current time. In truth, the choice about response is not whether one will or will not. The choice is really about the experiences, the pain, the challenge, the noise that will be created by the kind of response one makes to the changes that are confronting them. If one chooses to struggle with the change, to remain at distance from it, or to not to engage the transformation in one's own personal experiences, then that individual begins to find that the noise and pain and trauma of the inexorable and inevitable change process begins to negatively affect their life in a meaningful way. The leader must be able to articulate the movement away from choice with regard to the transformational moment towards choosing mechanisms for how one will engage, the challenges one will confront, the changes one will need to make in his or her own personal adaptation and accommodation of the change. Here is the leader's role in fundamentally helping others access the need for change, the characteristics of the change, the demand for personal adjustment in one's response to change, and to give a language and to be able to better define the experience of transformation in a new age through the eyes and experiences of those the leader engages and provides guidance. Of major importance to the clinical leader is the role that leader takes in providing new information to those he or she leads, especially in terms of clinical leadership with regard to the changes in the healthcare system as a result of these larger social reconfigurations based on this new socio-technical transformation. Issues related to how practice will change and how care will change and the impact of changing therapeutics that are driven by technology. If the leader recognizes that increasing shifts in technologically driven therapeutics actually changes the kind of care delivery that is generated and received by patients, then they begin to help individuals, other professionals, focus on the impact of those changes on practice. If you think of how far we've come in terms of the diagnostic and therapeutic processes, colonoscopies and screening tests and other kinds of therapeutic diagnostic processes, and how that alerts us earlier to the onset of risk or disease. And then the use of much more portable technologies in the treatment of those diseases, the ability to take polyps off the colon in a short period of time during the diagnostic process in a way that prevents the onset of later stage colon cancer, simply changes the very dynamics of therapeutics, where the emphasis was on the treatment of cancer when those therapeutics were not available, and nursing practice was invested in those treatment processes as compared to the treatment of early stage polyps, preventing later stage cancer, changing the numbers of patients experiencing later stage cancer, and the amount of nursing practice that would relate to that therapeutic intervention and late stage cancer treatment. All of that complex array of interface and dynamics has a radical impact on the treatment processes and protocols related to nursing practice. This whole shift in the therapeutic milieu and the characteristics related to therapies now drives a lot of the conceptualization of the future of nursing practice and calls nursing leadership to help nurses reconfigure, reconceptualize, and redefine the elements and foundations of nursing practice in a way that helps them capture what the future characteristics of that practice will be and the activities that need to be taken in the short term to address what changes in functions, activities, and practices need to occur to help nurses engage different kinds of activities and processes associated with their practice. And we could suggest these areas of shift in any number of arenas. If you take a look at old surgical therapies and now look at laser practices, if you think about the salves and creams and drugs of the past and begin to think about microsurgery and new therapeutic treatments today, if you take a look at old historic process-related, condition-related practices, and then you take a look at genetic and genomic-related therapeutic practices, if you look at old processes and practices related to interventions and herbals and those kinds of treatments, and then you think of the advances in pharmaceuticals and chemotherapy and radiotherapy, and you think of, if you go far enough to practices such as bloodletting, and then you begin to recognize, oh my gosh, now with modern chemical and therapeutic and pharmacological processes, all of those now seem to be antediluvian and almost bordering on the edge of ignorance as a part of the when compared to the processes and therapeutics of today. So all of this creates a contextual framework for the leader, recognizing that much of the work of leadership is really helping others to transform and create a new language, if you will, of practice and of therapeutics in a radically altering and changing healthcare delivery system, and placing it within the context of the quantum age and a new set of rules becomes really important for the leader, so that the leader helps redescribe and redefine the conditions and circumstances within which practice will unfold. Now, the quantumness component of this contextual framework is also very important for the leader in terms of developing a language and a value for it in a way that has specific meaning, and with terms and applications that can be easily translatable to the followers in a way that can help them more easily engage it. But in order to do that, the leader really has to gain a deeper understanding of the quantumness of the process, the movement away from linear thinking. It's perhaps one of the most radical shifts that represents the movement away from mechanistic or Newtonian thinking to the more quantum or linear non-linear processes of quantum science. Quantumness is a reflection of the action and operation of complexity and chaos in universal systems. The use of complex relational algorithms helps the leader better clarify and move away from former attachment to vertical processing and iterative processing, and to recognize that relational and whole systems model now constitutes the foundation for scientific understanding and our whole organizational and work constructs, not only in healthcare, but across all disciplines of work and human effort. Now researchers are capable of rapidly processing and relating complex arrays of data and information and conditions and circumstances simply because of the techniques and technologies available for doing that, and now begin to help us understand and move towards the introduction of higher levels of comprehension with related to complexity and chaos in our universe and in the fundamental human activities that we undertake on a daily basis. The leader has to be able to have a handle on this dynamic and these processes and be able to language them in a way that helps those that are led understand that these parameters, this contextual framework within which we work and relate, now expects a different level of understanding and a different level of relationships between the linkages and the intersections in work, in human activities, and in all of the contextual supports that relate to it. Perhaps one of the most interesting and dynamic as well as complex senses related to chaos and complexity is the interconnectedness of everything. And this has caused scientific leaders and researchers to redescribe our experience and our way of knowing and even our way of organizing and behaving as human beings. Even the smallest level of simple or single organization, all the way up to the most complex array of large aggregated systems complexity, reflect a common frame of reference of complex interactions, intersections, and relationships through powerful intersecting forces. For example, if you've ever looked at a hologram, which is a three-dimensional photograph of an image, you may often have noticed that no matter what size of a section you focus on, the entire image is still present in the smaller pieces. Holography can thus be used often to explain the nature of what are called fractals. In a fractal, the complete pattern of an image is presented in any component, regardless of the level of detail or complexity. Perhaps the best example of this is a tree. If you take a look at a tree from the so-called natural world and take a look at its overall structure, including trunks and branches, that overall structure is similar to the very small branching patterns found even in the microscopic level of every single leaf of that tree. So in every component of the tree, the whole is embedded in it. And that whole represents, no matter how small, a small symbol of the entire tree and the uniform, consistent, elegant, and integrated patterns that make up the whole can be found even in the very tiniest part. That framework of understanding complexity in fractals and fractions of entities gives us just a very small picture of the very complex array of relationships and intersections and frameworks that tell us about the fluid integrity of whole systems and the constant impact of those on every pattern of thought and motion and action in whole and in parts. It is at this level of understanding that leaders must now begin to grapple and to help others to grapple. Understanding the foundations of this system of operation and beginning to grapple with its impact on human relationships and interactions and organizations and work and all of the ways in which we deal with issues of problem finding and solving clearly have a dramatic impact on the role and function of the leader. Understanding collective and chaotic and integrating systems and how the leader must operate within the fluidity of such systems and the behaviors and patterns of relationships that are constantly a part of the functioning and flow of intersections and integration in systems and in organizations is really critical to grasping the very foundations, the fundamentals of the leader's functions and role, and is important to be able to better articulate that reality with the activities and actions of positive expressions of leadership in the organization. It is important for the leader to be able to grapple with this and to deal with this as a part of understanding the full array of leadership roles and processes and the applications of those roles in terms of the multiple functions that the leader will find as a part of unfolding and applying the role. The leader will be playing out roles as peacemakers, in recognizing the nature of conflict and how conflict also is a representation of the chaos and complexity of the organ of the universe and its applications in human dynamics. The leader will understand the role of complexity and crisis management and the leading of constant change. Leaders will also understand this in taking a deeper valuing of one's own experience of leadership, the application of one's own role in dealing with issues of vulnerability, of personal risk-taking, of stretching beyond current levels of capacity and competence in the expression of leadership. Also, the leader will need to recognize the impact of flow and complexity, integration and integrity in innovation leadership, in transforming organizations, in engaging their future, in conceptualizing and redefining them within the context of that future. Also, in terms of personal interactions between leaders and followers in relationship to each other, healing the brokenness of relationships and of processes, and being able to transform error and to use the positive forces in error to create positive responses in change and improvement and enhancement and advancing quality. In developing emotional competence and recognizing the competence of emotional integrity in the leadership expression of the role, and in building emotional maturity and strength and balance in the roles of others, helping overcome toxic organizations, coaching and transforming others' behaviors, demonstrating courage in the force of the confrontations related to the challenges of failure or change or major adjustment or new technology or destructive technologies. And finally, in creating a sense of one's own role and the spiritual applications and characterizations necessary to be able to grapple with the development of the person of the leader and the success of the leader's role in affecting the lives of others. All of this is embedded in a different understanding of the complexity and chaos of changing social constructs and new and fundamentally different roles and the applications of those roles in leading others into a new era for organizations, for systems, for human dynamics and the experience of the collective enterprise in making change and becoming more relevant in a changing social context. We'll explore many of these issues over the following podcasts and lectures with regard to leadership, and try and focus on specific components of leadership in ways that will help each of us grow in our understanding of the elements of leadership in a new age and the application of that leadership in undertaking the role of leader.